while you're standing, get your Bibles. The book of Luke, chapter 7, verses 40 through 47. Luke chapter 7. When you have it, say amen. You need more time? Say, hold on, Pastor. I guess you'll all have it then. I'm going to read this now from the NIV and later from a different translation. Jesus answered him, Simon, I have something to tell you. Tell me, teacher, he said. Two men owed money to a certain money lender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back. So he canceled the debts of both. Say cancel. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled. You have judged correctly, Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wept or wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my hair, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who hath been forgiven little loves little. Father, speak. Speak. You have already spoken. Speak again. And let your people listen and obey. In Jesus' name, amen. Before you take your seats, I want you to give the Lord a good praise, would you? Please take your seats. Please take your seats. I want to share this morning.
Yes.
I want to share this morning on the power of forgiveness.
All right.
The power of forgiveness. One of the things I like about the era in which I grew up, there are many things, but one of them was the blackboard. Anybody remembers the blackboard? Some people call it the chalkboard. Like you, I liked writing on the chalkboard, or if I go back a little further, how many of you remember the slates, the days of the slates? Lord have mercy. I just cursed somebody. I have no idea what I'm talking about. What is a slate, Pastor? Well, let me help you out. It is a material that is like a book, but it's not a book. It's just a flat surface. But you can write on it with a piece of lead or whatever. But what I like about the chalkboard or the blackboard or the lead is whenever you made a mistake, you could always erase it. In other words, you can always correct what went wrong. Now, if you are like me, who every now and then goes wrong, says wrong, does wrong, then you like that. But if you're perfect like some of you are, who never make any mistake, never said anything wrong, being married for 37 years, have it right down pack, then you don't need that. You just use your pen and keep writing. You don't need an editor because you got it together. But I'm sure this brother and sister will tell you that having been married for 37 years, there were times when they had to be deaf and blind in order to live with each other. Am I right about it? I'm just right behind you because I know that too. 36, 37, don't stop. But how many of us like the concept of being able to start over again? How many of you like that? Come on. How many of you like the thought, the principle, the idea that you can begin again, you can start over again? Yeah, yeah. Let me drive it home. How many of you have had somebody say to you, your death is canceled. You don't have to pay me back. That's okay. I want to throw in a little word of caution. If you have a close friend, before you lend her or him any money, decide in your mind which is more important, your friendship or your money. And always put a benchmark as to what you can give and let go. Because I'm going to tell you, live long enough, there's some folk who lend with no intention to pay. So if you cannot afford to lose it, don't lend it. Now, as good Christians, you ought not to lend unless you're willing to pay back. Amen, somebody. Amen, somebody. Now, I've been around church long enough to know that church is one of the target places for people to jump from church to church and to borrow as much money as they can without paying back. I'm glad none of you came here with that intention. I have a word for the brothers. If you have a problem lending money to everybody else and nobody's paying back, let your wife take care of the pocketbook. One brother tells me the way he takes care of all that, everybody always comes to him, and he was so soft and so nice. He loaned all his money and can't get it back, and the Lord simply hit him on the head and said, listen, you got a wife, let her take care of the money. And so now when they come to him asking for money, he said, check my wife. They said, no, that's okay. Now that may not work for everybody because she might be the opposite. But here's the concept. To have your debt canceled is a tremendous thing. I am aware this morning that in a church like this with the people that we have here this morning, that each one of us, if we are honest, has been hurt by somebody. Can I have a hand up? Anybody here been hurt by anybody? Yeah, just lift your hand. Stop lying. Yes. Lift. All of you should lift your hand up. You had somebody hurt you. Y'all up here too, you know. You ain't not, nobody ever hurt you? Well, I'm talking to you too. Amen. I'm going to push this a little further. Every one of us here has had something terrible happen to us or done to us by somebody. And some of that stuff is so severe, so hurtful, so painful that we swear, I will never let it go. Well, I'm sorry you swear because I want to make you unswear. Because that stuff will kill you. That stuff will eat you out. So what I want to do today, I want to share with you, and I just want to teach. We come out of a lot of preaching. I just want to teach today. Can I talk to you? I want to talk about the power of forgiveness. And I just want to touch two or maybe three main things. One, and they're together. I want to share some definitions and parameters of forgiveness And finally, I want to talk about some reasons to forgive. Can we do that? All right. Now, if we talk about a definition of forgiveness, I want to preface it by saying that unforgiveness is a state of resentment, a state of hostility, hatred, a state of bitterness, a state of anger, a state of fear, and a state of stress towards someone who has transgressed against another. There's somebody here this morning, maybe more, and I suspect it's a lot of us, who are angry, who are hostile, who are stressed, who are fearful, and the list goes on because of something that somebody did to us. And I don't want to enumerate the things, but I may need to mention a few. You'd be surprised how many adult women are now coming out of the closet because they finally gather some strength to indicate that they were molested. Women are now coming out of the closet and are able now to face the fact that they have been abused. And by the way, it doesn't have to be physical. In fact, we have discovered that emotional abuse has proven to be more detrimental than physical abuse. Some of you don't understand why you behave the way you do. For almost no reason at all, you just get hostile. You get bent out of shape. You find yourself stressed. You find yourself angry. You find yourself even afraid. Unforgiveness, one writer says, is a cancer that eats at the very soul of a person. A cancer. Forgiveness, however, occurs when the cold feelings of unforgiveness are changed to warm, loving, compassionate, caring, and very good feeling emotions because of a heartfelt transformation. In our text, Jesus tells us the truth that those who have been forgiven much love much. Let's be honest. If you are saved here this morning, that means you were lost at some point. So then you try to press me that you were always saved. Ain't nobody ever been always saved. How many of you have done some stuff that you are ashamed of this morning? Come on, lift your hand. Tell the truth, shame the devil, set yourself free. But let's push this a little further. Even now, after you're saved, you still find yourself every now and then saying some things, doing some things, going some places that you ought not to go. I'm going to help you. If I put my hand up, then it might help you. The videographer has the day off today. I'm just kidding. But he has a camera that has the ability to display what's in your heart on the screen. Scared of that, aren't you? But no, there's really one who's never off the job. His name is Jesus. But he's so wonderful, he has not displayed it on the screen yet. I say yet because if you are a child of God, when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, your life is going to be on public display. sorry, I didn't mean to shake you up like that, because if we truly had someone like that, that just point the camera on you and your life is displayed, we don't have to go too far back for most of us. We just will start with last night. Yeah? But the truth of the matter is, all of us have had at least one person that forgave us of something that they should have held against us. But you know what? There is one whom all of us have offended. And all of us deserve his judgment. In fact, every single one of us here, from the pulpit to the pew, every single one of us here this morning deserve to go to hell. But I'm glad, like the songwriter says, there is someone who looks beyond all fault. Give him praise this morning. At this juncture, let me share some definitions and parameters of forgiveness and then wrap it up with some reasons to forgive. If you listen carefully and you take God seriously, you will be freed up this morning. You will experience a freedom that you never thought possible. Let me share with you some definitions and parameters all wrapped up together. Forgiveness, I want you to hear me. Forgiveness does not mean that any wrongs done to you were acceptable. I want you to hear me. We are not excusing and finding reasons to excuse any of the wrong that's been done to you. Let's face it for what it is, it's wrong. No man should beat his wife, that's wrong. No wife should beat her husband, that's wrong. Nobody should invade the privacy of another and molest with them, that's wrong. Whatever wrong was done to you is not acceptable. I know it has been done to you so often that you have convinced yourself that it's okay because of who has done it to you. And that's how the perpetrator gains control over you. It's usually somebody you love, somebody you trust, somebody you look up to, and they have a way of manipulating and controlling the situation to such a degree that you now feel that what they're doing to you, and I say doing because some folks are still there, is okay. In the name of Jesus, it's not okay. So forgiveness doesn't mean that you say it's okay. It's not. Two. And I'm going to lose count in a minute. Forgiveness does not diminish the evil done against you, nor is it a denial of what has happened. One of the problems is most of us live in denial. And you think because God says and I say that you ought to forgive, that means it diminishes the hurt and the pain. It does not. And you ought not to deny what has happened. Just face it. Verbal abuse. How many of us have had people say things to us that have no right to say? Don't accept it. Forgiveness is a key. It's a key part of not letting those wrong hurt you any longer. You need to make a decision today. Forgiveness by not allowing those hurts to hurt you anymore. When you do not forgive, you are in fact saying, keep hurting me. To forgive, you're saying, I will not allow those hurts to hurt me any longer. That's what forgiveness does. Stay with me now. It's going to get a little rough up in here, and you're going to be uncomfortable for a while, but that's how it is with an operation. You got to cut in order to heal. So I know some memories are coming up, and I know it's pretty uncomfortable. I understand that. And I'm not careless, and I'm not unconcerned. But in order for me to help you and the Holy Spirit to help you, I can't put a plaster on a something that needs to be cut out. That's what you've been doing. It doesn't work. Forgiveness. Forgiveness does not take away the consequences of the other person that they will face because of their sin. I want you to understand this. Because you have forgiven somebody and will forgive somebody does not erase the consequences of their action. And even if the law does not catch up with them, and even if nobody else catches up with them, I want you to know there is one who keeps the record, and he will deal with them in time. The Bible is very clear. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever anybody sows, they will also reap. So forgiving the individual doesn't mean that you're letting them off the hook and they'll never pay the consequences of their sin. No, it does not mean that. Again, even if the law doesn't deal with them, you see what we have to understand, the consequences of sin are built in the choices that we make. And then forgiveness is letting go of your desire to hurt the person. You say, Pastor, you're crazy. No, I'm not. Forgiveness is letting go of your desire to hurt the person. Because you know, the truth is, when you hold unforgiveness, the only person that you're really hurting is yourself. But I know there's some people that you really want to strangle. Let's be honest. Come on. There's some people you want to choke off. You have no right to talk to me, to do that to me. I'm going to kill you. With a few choice words. Don't play like you're all that. Come on. It's okay to be angry. But the only way to be angry at sin, or to be angry without sin, is to be angry at sin itself. Don't tolerate sin. Don't play with sin. It's okay to be angry with sin, but be angry in sin not. Don't sit there. I don't know why some mothers just sit there in the name of survival and prosperity and watch men and women abuse their daughters or sons. To the single women, I want to suggest to you, be careful who you let into your house and into your life, especially if you have young children. Because the way things go, he not only wants you, he wants what you have. And sometimes that little girl is more appealing to him than you are. But it's not just the girls, it's the boys too. Well, boys are in trouble. Let's move on. Listen, I want you to understand this. Simply put, as we said earlier, forgiveness means you cancel the debt. Cancel. Write it off. And I'm going to tell you this. Unless God intervenes, that money that somebody had for you for 20 years ain't coming. Ain't coming. Let it go. Every time you see this person, something boils up in you, it's not worth it. Let it go. And trust God. If God wants to bring it back, he will. But trust me, if they ain't bring it back, only God can bring it back. Forgiveness. Forgiveness is a difficult process. And I don't have time to develop these as I would like to, but I want to just drop these in your spirit. It's a difficult process. Don't fool yourself. When you make a decision to forgive, I want you to understand this, that God will provide the strength. God will provide all that you need, the grace to forgive. And God will give you a heart of forgiveness. That's how good he is. But you got to make that decision. Forgiveness is not weakness. I sometimes smile at people who try to get over me, and because my initials spell Matt, think that I'm just a doormat, they can do whatever they want, and I'm so naive and stupid. But it's not that we're weak, and it's not that we're stupid. Forgiveness is a choice to be free. So don't equate forgiveness with weakness. In fact, it takes a strong person to forgive. It is the most powerful thing that you can do. Refusing to forgive really allows the devil to continue to hurt you, whereas forgiveness stops the destructive power of Satan in your life. And I want to say this, and this is very important. Hear me now. Listen carefully. Forgiveness, listen. Forgiveness is not reconciliation. Repeat that after me. Forgiveness is not reconciliation. Let me help somebody here. Because you have forgiven somebody does not mean you will be reconciled to them. Here's how it goes. Reconciliation takes at least two. True? Forgiveness only takes one. Your decision and your choice to forgive has nothing to do with the offender. Forgiveness is a choice that you make, and because you have forgiven them does not necessarily mean you have to be back with them. Are you with me? I want you, this is going to help somebody. So forgiveness is not reconciliation. It takes two to reconcile, only one to forgive. You must make that choice. You must make that decision to forgive. The reconciliation you have no power over. You cannot reconcile to somebody who will not be reconciled to you. That's a two-way street. And sometimes you will discover that the best way to live in harmony with others is apart from them. And that's not ungodly. I'll give you a quick illustration. Jesus, you remember Jesus? Y'all remember Jesus? You remember Herod? You read the Bible, and you'll find that Jesus walked within about 9 feet of Herod and said nothing to him. Absolutely nothing to him. And by the way, you cannot reason with the devil. The devil does not reason. The devil has one purpose, to steal, kill, and destroy. You cannot reason with the enemy. God's freeing you up because you've been holding this stuff all your life too long. Listen to me. Reconciliation does not depend on the other person's action, and it's not probationary either. I want to make that clear. You do not say, I'll forgive you if. No. Forgiveness has nothing to do with the other person's action. You make that decision, I forgive you. It doesn't really matter what they do from there on. Because if you make it probationary, you're still in bondage. Because if they don't change, you're still in trouble. Are you with me? Stay with me. Ooh. Forgiveness does not require to become a doormat. Nor does it require you to allow the offender to hurt you again. The offender will come to you and say, well, you said you forgive me. Well, yes, I did, but that don't mean that you can come over me again. No way. No way. And I know the offender, especially if he or she is not saved, and by the way, a saved offender is often worse than an unsaved offender, because he or she has seven more devils. Trust me. You'll be shocked to death the kind of stuff that people who call themselves saved will do. Out of the will of God, you are more dangerous than a sinner. Because you have the benefits of both sides. And you know why people can hurt you the most, that love you the most? It's because of that inside track they have. An enemy does not have the benefit of inside information. Only a friend does. And that's why they're dangerous. And especially if they know a little Bible, a little knowledge is a dangerous thing, sister. Some of us know too little Bible, and we're too dangerous. And if we know a little more Bible and still wicked, we are very dangerous.
The Bible says.
Yeah, I know what the Bible says, but you better get out of my face. Because that's the Bible says that, but it also says this. See, they are truncated. They have a truncated gospel, very selective in what they want to use. Don't let them manipulate you. Forgiveness does not require you to be a doormat. Forgiveness is a gift to the offender. And I want you to trust God. On the other hand, trust God. You must set the boundaries. You got to set boundaries. If you've been molested or have not been molested, if you've been abused and not been abused, you have to set boundaries. People need to know how far and how not far. Forgiveness does not wait for the offender to repent. Unlike God, who provides forgiveness when we repent, humans, we cannot demand repentance before granting forgiveness. We don't have that right. Forgiveness is about how much you trust God to take care of you. Forgiveness is experiencing empathy for the offender, humility about your own sinfulness, and gratitude for being forgiven by God and for others. Let me repeat that. Listen carefully. Forgiveness is experiencing empathy for the offender, humility for your own sinfulness, and gratitude for the forgiveness of God and others. That's forgiveness. I want to quickly now move into some reasons to forgive. Let's see how quickly we can go through this. Why should I forgive? Number one, forgiveness sets you free to move on with your life. Say this with me. Forgiveness sets me free to move on with my life. Listen to me. If you are a prison warden, you understand this. If you get prisoners, you understand this. You cannot be any more free than the people that you guard. Because in order to keep them in, you have to stand there on guard. Listen to me now. Some of you are trying to hold people hostage. And the only hostage is really yourself. You cannot move on with your life until you release whoever it was or whoever it is that has offended you. It's about setting you free. Hmm. So this is not for them necessarily. This is for you. Listen, forgiveness, one of the reasons to forgive is that it sets me free to go on with my life. Next, forgiveness refuses, say refuses, to let the person who hurt you have power over your life. You want to see how ridiculous it is if you have not forgiven? Here are two of you, very good friends. You and two friends having a good time. There's a third person who has offended you that is a friend of the other person, not you. You're having a great time with this particular friend who's the mutual friend of the other person that steps in that hurt you. And there you are laughing, having a good time. But as soon as this other person comes in, your whole demeanor changes. You sunk in the dumps. You change. In fact, if the truth be known, you walk 12 miles when it takes you just 1 mile. Because you're trying to avoid. Whenever this person is around, you cannot be yourself. And that is giving too much power and authority to another person. Nobody has the right to control you that much. Say amen, somebody. If this person is going to deserve or determine whether I smile or laugh, that's too much power I have given them. And the only reason that that happens is because I have not forgiven them. So release them so that you can be released. But very importantly, and I want to read a couple of passages as I come down. Turn over, if you will, to Matthew chapter 5. I want to read this so you don't just assume that I'm just speaking to you. Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 48. One of the other reasons to forgive it because it opens up your relationship with God. Here's what the Message translation says. Jesus himself speaks. You are familiar with the old writing or written law. Love your friend. And it's unwritten compassion or comparison or companion. Hate your enemy. I am challenging that. I am telling you, says Jesus, to love your enemies. Let them bring out the best in you, not the worst. I am speaking to somebody here who has somebody on the job that keeps getting under your skin. And whenever they let whenever you let people see you sweat, they're going to let you sweat some more. People know how to twist and turn your buttons. They know what makes you tick. They know what drives you crazy. And if you let them see you sweat, they will turn up the heat even more. So Jesus says, listen, let them bring out the best in you, not the worst. When someone gives you a hard time, respond with the energies of prayer for them. And then you are working out your true selves, your God-created self. This is what God does. He gives his best, the sun to warm and the rain to nourish to everyone. Regardless, the good and bad, the nice and nasty, if all you do is love the lovable, do you expect a bonus? Anybody can do that. If you simply say hello to those who greet you, do you expect a medal? Any run-off-the-mill sinner does that. In a word, what I'm saying is, grow up. You are the kingdom subjects. Now live like it. Live out your God-created identity. Live generously and graciously towards others the way God lives towards you. I move on. Forgiveness. One of the other reasons to forgive It keeps you from becoming bitter and thus protect those around you. Listen to me. Whenever you have bitterness, you have no clue when it's going to come out. Tell the truth. Is it not true that a lot of us take our anger out on the children, the poor, innocent children? Talk to me now. Children haven't done a thing to us. But because we have some anger, some stuff inside of us, and often the ones that we love the most are the ones who suffer the most. They get the stuff that is meant for somebody else because we have not forgiven. I am amazed at how good, how well we treat strangers. And how much we misuse and abuse the ones we say we love. Because we screwed up. Put it simply, we all messed up. Get rid of that stuff. It's cancer. Some of us have been hurt so bad and have had so much anger in our lives, we don't trust anybody anymore. Not even God. There's a young man whose father has abused him inside out. His father. And so when I present to him that God wants to be your father, he resists that. Because when I say father, he thinks he's daddy. He thinks abuse. He thinks all that. And now I have to show him that God is your father. Let me show you how. He loves you in a way that nobody else can. He's not trying to get anything from you. He's trying to give everything to you. But it takes time for that to sink in. Let me say this. God, as strange as it may sound, has allowed you, I say aloud, because he could stop it. You know he can, right? But he allows a lot of things. And one of the reasons I found that God allows me to go through stuff so that I can be a witness. Now that sounds crazy. But God's going to take your testimony so that now he sends you back out that you can help those who are still in it. Give him praise and glory. We're almost there. We're coming down. One of the other reasons to forgive is that it keeps you from becoming like the other person. Ordinarily, you have been a very nice person. Let's be honest. Very friendly, but lately you have been becoming nasty. What I found out, my brother, as I live long enough, I tell folks that faith and fear are just as strong, but faith is much more powerful. But just to show you something, because the more you try not to be like somebody, is the more you end up being like them if you're driven by fear. Do I have a witness in the house? Yeah. Because fear has power. Job says the thing I feared the most is the thing that happened to me. Fear is powerful. And the more you try to be not like you're the quote unquote, this is, you don't know this. This is what your mother told you about him. And women, you ought to stop that. Because you and he didn't get along. Don't poison the children's heart. Don't tell him you're just like your good-for-nothing father. Guess what? The boy's going to come out just like you said, like his good-for-nothing father. And the more he tries to avoid being like his good-for-nothing father, because you're poisoning his heart, he now ends up being drawn to what he's been trying to get away from. Fear, unforgiveness, will cause you to become like the other person. And that's why it's a cycle. Those who have been abused often abuse. Do I have a witness? It happens. So we got to break that cycle. Forgive. I got two more things and I'll let you go. So we talk about the definitions and the parameters. We're now closing in on the reasons to forgive, and I want to share this with you. One, unforgiveness doesn't hurt the perpetrator at all. It hurts only you. I needed to repeat that. And I want to close now with this passage in Matthew 18. Let's go there. Verses 21 through 35. Of all the reasons that you and I need to forgive is because the scripture commands us to be forgiven. Look at Matthew chapter 18. At that point, Peter got up. He got up the nerve to ask, Master, how many times do I forgive a brother or a sister who hurts me? Seven? Jesus replied, Seven? Hardly. Try 70 times seven. The kingdom of God, Jesus continues, is like a king who had decided to square accounts with his servants. As he got on the way, one servant was brought before him who had run up a serious debt of $100,000 he couldn't pay. So the king ordered the man, along with his wife and children and goods, to be auctioned off at the slave market. That's how serious it was back then. The poor man threw himself at the king's feet and begged, Give me a chance and I'll pay it back. Touched by his plea, the king let him off, canceling the debt. The servant was no sooner out of the room when he came upon one of his fellow servants who owed him $10. How much did he owe? $100,000. How much does this fellow owe him? $10. Watch what happens. The king just forgave him. He meets his fellow and he says to him, in fact, here's what the Bible says. He seized him. He actually captured him by the throat. Pay me. Pay me now. Now, he doesn't say, pay me tomorrow. Pay me as soon as you can. Pay me now or else I choke you to death. The poor wretched man threw himself down and begged, Give me a chance and I'll pay you. But he wouldn't do it. He had him arrested and put in jail until the debt was paid. When the other servants saw this going on, they were outraged and brought a detailed report to the king. We got to tell the king this. The king summoned the man and said, You evil servant, I forgive you so much. And I'll stay right there. Let's stand. God wants to free us. Let's bow our heads. Healing is about to take place. Bow your heads. I have never seen a more angry, hostile people than in this day. We have folks in church who've been angry for years, hostile for years, wicked for years. Over what? Let me be real with you. We as a church have been through a lot of stuff. You cannot be pastoring for 30-something years and not meet all kinds of stuff. So at some point in your life, you're going to knowingly or unknowingly offend somebody. God has grown me up to the point, and just in case there's somebody here that I have offended. I'm going to stat this. I don't know. For me, it's over. The way I like to deal with things is deal with them and move on. But that's not the way with everybody. Several times we sit down and we discuss things and we talk things over, and for us it's settled. For somebody in the group, it's not settled. They still have it. I want you to know that I have let it go, whatever it may have been, no matter how long or soon it have been. I forgive you, and that's why I have moved on. Friend, it's going to kill you. It's going to destroy you. There are husbands and wives who are living in the same house but in separate bedrooms. And even though you're in the same bedrooms, you're just like strangers. That's not good. We have brothers and sisters in the flesh that are not talking to each other. Somebody here, God is simply saying, I come to set you free. I come to give you liberty. So whatever it is, whoever it is, if you are someone that doesn't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He wants to forgive you. He wants to cleanse you. And let's be honest, you're being hypocritical because you got stuff too. All of us have stuff. Why is it you want to kill this other person when you yourself have stuff? I'm going to ask you to leave where you're standing as a sinner. Accept the forgiveness of God. Church, I want you to pray. Somebody that's hurting for whatever reason, I want you to come to this altar and just release it all to God. You don't even have to tell us anything about what it is. You can talk to God. Come, get that release. Release that person, whoever it is, wherever they are. If they're dead, God is so gracious, God can still release you. And that's why you ought to do it while you're living, because when the person is dead, it makes it even more difficult. But God is such an awesome God, He can do that too. Come. Don't worry about anybody else. Release that person. They've been messing with you. Just release them. Free up yourself. Come on. Let's pray. Counselors, I won't let you leave them alone. Let them talk to God by themselves. Just stand by if you need to, but just leave them. You come. I think more of us need to be here. I'll stand right here with you. We got people, we got stuff in our lives that we need to let go of. It's not for them, it's not about them. It's for you, it's for me. Because you cannot go any further until you release them. God wants to free you up. God wants to free me up. Would you come right now?
Yes.
Let's pray. Nobody's going to ask you who it is, what it is. We're not going to ask.
Yes.
You come. Come on. Somebody done you a bad deal. Cheat you out of your inheritance. I don't know what it is. To be honest, I have no clue what it is. But you know what it is. Let it go. This is for you. You've been trying so hard to please them. Let me tell you, it's not your fault. You can't please them. They are the ones with the problem. No matter what you do, your father will never say to you, I love you. You're going to have to accept that. And so you've been trying to do everything you can. You've been going out of your way trying to please them, and there's nothing you can do because they just cannot. God says, let it go. Let them go. Father, thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for the freedom. we can go on with our lives. We've been hoping if we do things differently, they would change. We can't change nobody. So we find ourselves blaming ourselves when we becoming the victim twice. We didn't do that. We didn't do anything wrong. And if we have, help us to face up, confess it to you, accept your forgiveness, forgive ourselves, and move on. That's how you work. Because you said you cast all sins in the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered against us anymore forever. Thank you for freedom. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.